to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Today, well, week two of See the Other, Love the Other, and last week I shared about my love for movies, and in particular, movies that have ensemble casts. Think Lord of the Rings, think Avengers, Justice League, Star Wars. There's always a character in one of these movies that you kind of connect to, right? You're like, yeah, I want to be like that person. Yeah, I really connect with that person. And I asked some of our team what characters they'd love to connect with, or they think they connect with when they watch these movies. And we saw some photos last week. We won't show any today. We'll just move it. No, we're going to show some more. And so I think we missed out on Pastor Michaela Hawkes as Spider-Man from last week. So can we show that one? Pastor Michaela Hawkes said she connects with Spider-Man because he's kind of an average dude, but he got bitten by a radioactive spider and all of a sudden he's got powers. And Michaela thinks she's just average, but because she's been empowered by the Holy Spirit, she can do incredible things. So spiritual. Pastor Cherry Schroeder said Gandalf. An insightful, wise, old... You said old, I didn't say that. An insightful, wise, old warrior and leader that you are, and so much more. Pastor Nicole from QB, most of you who know her would know what she would say, Wonder Woman. And she basically just gave me a quote. She probably knows off by heart all the quotes from Wonder Woman. We won't say that quote. Pastor, we've got the Vermeulens now. And so Pastor Adrian Vermeulen, he said he'd be Aragorn the Ranger from Lord of the Rings. It's quite an uncanny resemblance, isn't it? Quiet, introverted, a reluctant leader, a loyal stand-up-for-your-mates kind of guy. That he is. Pastor Claire Vermeulen said she connects with Samwise Gamgee. Oh, that's just too good. A generally optimistic, curly-haired hobbit, though who doesn't feel brave or strong, but when partnered with the right people, connected to purpose, is excited to be a part of a great, albeit challenging, adventure. Very cool. And so whilst there are some characters in these movies that we genuinely kind of connect with a bit more and go, yeah, I like what that person, that superhero, what that character is all about, there's on the opposite side, the flip side, those characters in these movies that we're kind of like, nah, I don't really like what that person stands for. I don't really connect with that person. And we kind of disassociate ourselves from those kind of characters in these movies. And they become the other. And in our lives, this idea of the other, it exists. It's real. There's this list that you and I have compiled, either consciously or subconsciously, based on our experience, our upbringing, what we've been taught, made up of people who are classified as the other, those we distance from, we don't agree with, we struggle with maybe aspects of what they stand for, what they believe, how they live. And the mandate from the Bible, the mandate from God for all Christians is pretty clear. It's outlined plainly by Jesus. Examples of these are in Matthew 5 and Luke 10. You can check those out at a later date. That you and I as Christians, we're mandated, we're called to make every effort to love others, to love the other. Doesn't make it easy though, right? It's not easy. Even though we're called to do something, we're created to do something, we're built to do something, we're empowered to do something, it doesn't mean that it's easy. It's challenging, but it can be done. It can be done because you and I are recipients of being seen and being loved as the other when it comes to God. It can be done because we are called to it and we are aligned with this mission through the Word of God. And it can be done because you and I are empowered by Holy Spirit to have that love birthed and nurtured and flowing in us and through us to ultimately point other people to God. And we launched this series last week, See the Other, Love the Other. And this is part two. And as we lead into this Christmas season, we have an amazing opportunity to go beyond, to carry a plus one heart, this heart of the love of the Father, to carry that to every human being in order that we may see the other, we may love the other, whether it's our neighbor, person we work with, person we're studying with. And our ground zero is Luke 11, 15 to 32. I don't know if I need to preach after that communion this morning, but I've prepared it, so I might as well. And we traditionally know this parable as the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. But more accurately, the central character of this parable is the father. And the focus on his interaction with both of his sons. What he says, how he responds. Not only the one who left, but also the one who stayed. The central theme of this parable is the pardoning love of God for the other, illustrated by the character of the father. And as we read this passage, just like the movies that we watch, we're going to connect naturally to one of the characters more so than the other. The reality is that whether we connect more with the prodigal who left and came back or the son who stayed, the reality is both are the other and both are us. The character and nature of both of these sons is in all of us. And so instead of connecting maybe with one of the sons or the other, let's focus on connecting with the father and his actions and words. Are we ready to read this parable again? Yeah. We're going to read it from the beginning. He also said, this is Jesus, he's just spoken two other parables to the multitude, the crowd. He also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, my son's just texted me. The youngest son, how was your sleepover last night? 13-year-old boy. Yeah, fun. Yeah, two words. It's better than one word, right? It's better than one word. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he'd spent everything, a severe famine struck that country and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the carob pods the pigs was eating, but no one would give him any. When he came to his senses, so easy just to read that line and keep going, but that is a significant line. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up, I'll go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands. So he got up and he went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him, been waiting, watching for this moment. He saw him and he was filled with compassion. He ran. The father ran. Threw his arms around his neck. Other translations said, fell on his neck and kissed him, showered him with kisses. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his slaves, quick, just as fast as the son had left. The father was quick to restore. Bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. Let's celebrate with burgers. Let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. They had a good old party. Now his oldest son was in the field. And as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants and he asked what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him. Your father, he slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And then he became angry and didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, we don't even know what his father says in pleading with him. He replied to his father, look, I've been slaving many years for you. I've never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Son, that gets me every time. Child, my beloved, he said to him, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate. We had to rejoice. This brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And last week we focused on the son who left. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to listen to the podcast or check out Church Online. This week we're going to have a bit more of a look with interest into the son who stayed. And Jesus is speaking these parables out in the open to a crowd. Anyone could come and listen. And so in this crowd is a multitude filled with both notorious sinners, those who were known for doing the wrong thing, and the Pharisees and the experts in the law, those who were known for doing the right thing. And these religious elite, they had these sinners, the very people they were standing side by side within the crowd, right at the top of their list of the other. And it was their grumbling and their complaining about Jesus spending too much time with these sinners that led Jesus to sharing these three parables. This parable is the last of three. It involves three main characters, a father and two sons. And the story of the son who leaves and comes back, told the people of the day and tells us as readers today that although many other loves in this world will fail us, the love of Father God is faithful, patient, and grace-filled. There is hope for everyone. Everyone. No matter how broken we are, no matter how imprisoned we are in sin, and that hope is found in the loving arms of God through what Jesus Christ has done. Sin can be forgiven. Its power can be destroyed in our lives, no longer defining or limiting us. And as the Father saw the Son whilst he was still a long way off, so too does Father God see us. And he runs to embrace and to restore us. His love is relentless. But there's another story to tell. It's the one concerning the son who stayed. Whilst the son who left and returned is the lost son, broken and in need of restoring, the son who stayed is also the lost son, also broken, also in need of restoring. Jesus here is illustrating there's two kinds of being lost. The son who left and returned is the lost son through breaking rules, escaping his father's love through reckless living. The son who stayed is the lost son through keeping rules, escaping his father's love through morality and man-made religion. The son who left falls into this pit of unrighteousness that degrades him. The son who stays is stuck in a pit of self-righteousness, which blinds him. Both have to deal with the consequences of their actions. Now, the firstborn son, he's the law abider. He's the rule follower. He's the hard worker. I'm a firstborn. Any firstborners out there? in your birth order. There's a few out there, firstborners. We kind of, you know, get everything first and we get to have all the experiences and we get to start later than our siblings. But there's also some downsides about being the firstborn. You get blamed for everything. No matter what your youngest sibling does, no matter how naughty they are, the finger is pointed at you. Ugh, frustrated me growing up. I was always the one. Actually, I was probably deserving most of the time. I was more likely to follow the rules. The expectations were also higher as a firstborn. I see that now with my kids. For some reason, my expectations of Harrison, our 13-year-old, are just higher than it is for the girls. And you might be here and as a firstborn, or maybe you're not a firstborn, but you've carried expectations growing up. You've carried these expectations from others. Maybe they've been spoken, they've been overt, but maybe they've been subtle. Maybe they've been perceived expectations. That as long as you do this, this, and this, you'll be good. As long as you meet this standard, you'll be okay. Keep earning, keep working, keep ticking all the boxes, and then you'll be applauded and accepted, and then you can have a healthy sense of self-worth. I battled this in varying degrees all my life, trying to live up to the expectations of others, the ideals, the standards of others. I did it as an insecure teenager. I would jump from friendship group to friendship group. My nickname, I've probably shared this before, but my nickname for a while was Chameleon, because I would change who I was depending on the people I was around. And I was so insecure and I had such an unhealthy sense of self-worth that if that friendship group, if they didn't like me, I'd just jump to the next one and I'd change. And all this while I was working hard and putting in so much effort, but never actually truly being myself. And actually, I brought this into my experience of faith when I became a Christian. Oh, Ben, you don't pray enough. You don't read the Bible. You don't know enough about the Bible. You don't love people enough. You say too many dodgy things. I say much less now. You don't sacrifice enough. You don't serve enough. It can get really tiring just being in the loop. And it caused me at times to detest church. I hated coming to church. Desperately wanting to pull away from responsibility and accountability and God. That's what legalism does. That's what man-made religion, this idea of earning goodness, earning salvation, earning right standing. It's evil. Legalism squeezes all the joy and the life and the love out of us. And the other outcome of this mindset, of this attitude, is that we transfer those expectations on the way to live and those unrealistic ideals and standards onto others. We can't meet those standards, and you definitely can't, because I'm much better than you. And see how we can kind of create this hierarchy and this comparison. And it's nasty. It's nasty. So we're quick to judge others. We're quick to compare ourselves to others, and we can be in and around church life, and we can call ourselves Christians, and we can be around God, but we can continue to harbor these thoughts and these attitudes. And in this regard, we're lost. We're lost because the gospel of grace hasn't taken over. One can be lost even whilst at home. And this is the state we find the older son in. He's out in the field working. And we're all like, yeah, so noble. You're a hard worker. It's good to have a strong work ethic. I'm not saying bludge. Work hard. But not once in this parable do we see the son who stayed go into or be found in the father's house. Always near. never in. Always associated with the Father, never connected. He would rather ask a servant what is going on in the house than go in and experience it for himself. There's a disconnect going on, right? There's something going on in his heart. This over years and years, it's not just a snap decision. This is a part of who he is now, this character in him of, I won't even go into the house, even though there's obviously a party going on. It smells incredible. It sounds amazing. I'm not going to go in. What? He finds out his brother is home and the whole house is rocking. But instead of going in, he gets angry. And his father, he's in the house, he's in the thick of the party, and he's high-fiving people. My son's home. My son's home. I thought he was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, but I saw him far off, and I ran. And he's here. Turn up that music. Get me another burger. Come on. But then he becomes aware. He's got another son, and he loves that son just as much as the son who left. And he's like, something's not right. Something's missing. And he leaves the party. He leaves the place of life to go out, not to chastise, not to say, what are you doing, man? Get in there. He goes out to plead with him. And we don't even know what he says. But he's pleading with him. He's saying, come in. Come on, your son, your brother's home. Come. But the son reveals his true heart, his deep lostness with his response, his paradigm of what it means to be a son of the Father. It's totally upside down. I've done this for you. He's the starting point. See, the starting point of the Bible, the starting point of God's plan, the starting point of the gospel is not us. It's God. But I have done this for you, and I've never done the bad stuff, and you've never given me what I deserve. His worth, his value, it's built brick by brick on what he's done. Every achievement, bang, I've earned that. Bang, my father's going to love me more for that. Bang, yeah, I've done that. Another day ticked off. Come on, yes, surely I've got that goat coming to me soon. I deserve more than what I'm getting, he's saying. He's saying it's not fair. And he's imprisoned. He's locked up in this loop of legalism. And not only that, but then his insecurity flows into anger, judgment, and comparison towards the other, towards the brother. Father, by receiving your son, surely you're rewarding him for his bad decisions and his bad behavior. You're condoning his lifestyle by loving him, by accepting him. Surely that's what you're doing, God. So what you're saying, Father, is that it doesn't really matter how you live. Do any of us kind of feel a little bit like that as we read this? Yeah. And he distances himself from his brother. He won't even associate with him. He won't even call him his brother. He says, this son of yours. Laying the blame on the father. But in doing that, in trying to disassociate himself, he forever binds his identity to his brother. He makes his identity dependent on the other. And I've got to read this quote again from last week by Tim Keller. When you create an identity by despising other groups, it makes you dependent in many ways on them. Ironically, the other becomes part of who you are. You need for them to stay in their place and to fit your stereotypes of them. The father listens to this son. He's patient. He's gentle. He's kind. And he says, son, my child, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. It always has been yours and always will be yours. Your worth and your identity in me has always been secure. You have access to everything I have. Yet you haven't enjoyed it. You haven't partaken of it because you've been too busy trying to earn it. But the father says, but when it comes to my son who's left and his return, we had to, no choice, man. No choice. We had to. It's not even a thought. He's so quick to restore. He's so quick to celebrate. It's the natural disposition of this father who represents Father God. It's Father God's natural disposition to want to restore, to want to bless, to want to celebrate his sons and daughters. And the son who stayed had every opportunity to come close to his father and receive the father's heart for himself, but also for the other. But his response shows us that proximity to his father doesn't translate to a changed heart. It's only by entering into the father's house, entering into this relationship, this communion with his father. It's the only way to break the loop of legalism, to truly receive grace and forgiveness, and to get a heart to see and to love the other. And so for you and I, following the rules can't earn us goodness. Doing the right thing can't make us right with God. In this regard, we're helpless. In this regard, sin has got control of our hands are tied. We love sin too much. We are incapable of doing anything to earn God's righteousness. Can't be a good person. Can't do it. But as Matt said earlier, but God. But God, by his grace and his mercy and his love, on radiant, startling display in the perfect life, the sacrificial death on the cross, the resurrection from the grave, and the ascension to be with his Father of Jesus Christ. That radiant display of Father God's love has made a way that even though we can't earn it, he's done the work for us. He's completed the work. He's destroyed sin's control. He's made a way for us to live life to the full. And this is where grace is so unfathomable. It's about as unfathomable. It's about as unfathomable. I'm going to keep going until I get it. Unfathomable. It's about unfathomable. This grace is just so unfathomable. Thank you, Jesus. We can't understand it. That it extends to everyone. The ones who are foolish, the ones who are insecure, the ones who are self-reliant. It's for everybody. And it's available today. And if you're feeling like you're in that loop of legalism today, freedom is coming. The waterfall of his grace is flowing. And we're going to have a moment of prayer in a minute. But as we connect with God, as we commune with the Father, as we humble ourselves and connect with him, we become more like him. We get his heart. We get his heart, we see ourselves through his eyes, but we also see the other through his eyes. through the eyes of grace, the eyes of love, and we're willing to go the extra mile. We're willing to see the things that we have in common with the other as opposed to the things that divide us. And we are built to work. We are built to serve. We are built to lay our lives down for God and for others. But it's not so that we can earn God's love. It's in response to God's love. It's empowered by God's love. This work that God's doing deeply in and through us. This is the Father's heart for his sons. That's Father God's heart for humanity. That's the scandal of grace that demolishes every man-made pursuit that we have to earn salvation. Father God sees you and I. He sees us from a long way off and he loves us. And Jesus is more than good enough for us. Can I have the band come up? How's everybody been going with the weekly action plan? Well done. So this is a big disclaimer. I shared it last week as we wrap up. This sermon series is great. Again, I preach great today. But it's limited. It's limited. What happens on a Sunday is supposed to be the spark. And then all week we put fuel on that fire through the middle circle, the second circle of the purpose circles, as we connect with God through prayer, through the Bible, through discipleship community. And then as we continue to see God and discover who God is and allow God to come and fill us and change us and shift us and transform us, and then we get his heart. His heart comes upon us to see the other and to love the other. And so it's important that we're doing that in the week. And so I've put together a weekly action plan to help us all out. And it was out on socials this week and the slides are coming up now. We won't go through it, but I encourage you. You can take photos of the screens now or you can check out the slides from socials. We'll put them out again this week. To continue to take those moments, to read the parable, to repent, to be empowered, and to go, to act. Now, Luke in this scripture, he kind of leaves us hanging. Well, Jesus is the master, right, of the parable. He doesn't tell us what the son does. The son who stayed doesn't tell us what he does. Does he go into the house? Does he stay out? What does he do? I think Jesus is intentional about leaving it open like that. What are the Pharisees of the day who are hearing that parable going to do? What are you and I today going to do in response to this? God's calling us to respond. So why don't you close your eyes right now? If you feel like you've been caught up in that loop of legalism, if you feel like you kind of slot into that earning mentality of, God, I don't feel good enough, or God, I feel too good. I need to tick all the boxes and then I'm fine. And it's kind of squeezing the life out of you. It's kind of squeezing your love for God out. And you want that broken today. If that's you, I just want you to hold your hands out before God right now. I don't want you to do something super overt. I don't want to embarrass any of you, but I want an action from you. I want a response. If you feel like you're in that loop and you want that broken today, because this is a barrier for us to be able to see the other and love the other, to be able to receive his grace and his love and then that flow through us. So just hold your hands before you. And God, we thank you, Lord, that there's nothing we can do for you to love us any more or any less, that your love for us is complete. And I ask today that you would break the power of that legalistic mindset, those legalistic attitudes in the name of Jesus. Break the power of them in Jesus' name. and bring freedom and bring life. And God, we ask that you would pour out your grace right now. Pour out your grace upon every person, Lord God, who is responding today. That they would know, Lord God, that you make them worthy because of Jesus. That they would know, Lord God, that they would work hard and serve you, God, not to earn your love, but out of response of your love. And I pray that you would fill them today. I thank you. It's like a reset button today for some people. I see a reset button, a big red button. It says reset. I see some of you pressing that button today. This is a reset button. No more living legalism. No more living in this loop. It's freedom. It's grace-fueled. It's love-filled. We declare it today in Jesus' name. And if everybody could just hold their hands out before God right now. God, I thank you that you've called us as your people, as your body, as your bride to shine bright for you. You've called us, Lord God, to be ambassadors and to have that ministry of reconciliation, God, for this world. And I thank you, Lord God, that you would continue to make your plea through us. Empower us, Lord God, to see the other and to love the other, to go the extra mile, Lord God, for the other. I pray, God, that you would give us confidence and boldness, Lord God, knowing that the change and the transformation that has taken place in our lives, Lord God, you would do in others. And so fill us again with your love and your grace, Lord God, and may it be poured out this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.